chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
The New Testament scripture reading this morning is our text as well. From Luke chapter 15, 11 to 32. And he said, there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robes and put it on him, and bring a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you and I've never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. All right. Yesterday at the barbecue, we give a shout out, though they're not here, Bridges of Hope, for basically footing the bill. That was very nice of them, and I'm sure that was a pretty sized bill. All right, and praise the Lord for all those what I call blue shirts. Those are our volunteers from outside our community. One of the things that I did, just in case for those who were there didn't notice this, is because you know if I asked my kids, our kids, just to run around the neighborhood and tell everybody, what would they do? They would just go and run around. If I turned to my people and said, hey, y'all, would you just walk around? They, boom, 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 right? I turned to the blue shirt outsider guest volunteers and ask them to go out into the neighborhood and invite people. All right? And I thought that was good. Almost everybody was glad they did that because they got to see our neighborhood. And that was good. If you were part of that group, I am sure that you saw that we had many troubled people that were there. We had people who, you know, are addicts, homeless. Not all homeless people are addicts, but a lot of people who are addicts become homeless. We had people that probably have messed up their lives so much that they probably will never, apart from God's grace, ever recover. Right? So we don't have to go far to imagine the prodigal son. We can look at ourselves, absolutely look at ourselves. But we don't have to run far in our own ministries throughout the weeks and months, especially during the summer, where we go to the park every Wednesday. We don't have to go far to see how messed up the prodigals are all around us. The hard part is as a church saying they belong to be here. They are made to be here. And I know that I was talked to by at least a handful of people that were at least on the methadone treatment, right? Who were struggling, who confessed right up front, I'm an addict. I had more people tell me yesterday they were addicts, probably at one time than I've had in a while. And that's good, right? Because sometimes you have to say it out loud. And I said, let's be real here. You guys struggling. Yeah, I'm an addict. I wish every single one that said they'd be here would be here. But we keep on working at it. But isn't that the trick of the prodigal story? Isn't this the trick of the sheep being lost, the one sheep? Isn't this the issue of the one coin? Is us going looking for the prodigal? Us going out and then welcoming in the prodigal? Isn't that what this is all about? And so, like I did with the other two parables last week, I'm going to twist this one a little bit. Not from the text, but from our minds, because most of us read the prodigal son and we think about how loving God is and he's welcoming us. But I want us to read the prodigal son's story as I believe it was written, so that we become a church like the Father. So that we become like the shepherd who seeks the one, like the woman who will do whatever it takes to find the lost coin. That's what I believe these parables are telling us, all right, John. Now, just to remind you, these three parables, the sheep, the coin, and the prodigal son, so he told them this parable. It's interesting. He refers to these three as one parable. And so we have the lost and found sheep, the lost and found coin, and the lost and found son. And so we're going to hear from the lost and found son this morning, because I think this is the one that gets. This one is the one that gets a little personal. All right? And so I need to recall that in Luke chapter 14, that comes right before 15. If you guys, that's not new math, by the way. All right? Right? See ya? This is not new math. 14 comes before 15. You're still taking math or you're done with that? Yeah, done. She said, I'm done. My wife is the math wizard. Amen? Yeah, that's right. All right? But and God puts us together, and then God gives us one another, right? But you got to remember that chapter 14, he's instructing his listeners that they are to invite those who can't repay. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. This is not a good church growth methodology. If we want a church to grow, who do we invite? Those who have money, those who can do things, right? Right? I don't get this. There's no books on this. There's no books on this. Mama, have you seen a book in all your time? You've never seen a book about saying, let's grow a church with the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. And so I think we have to take into consideration that that's the beginning context of these three parables. And then in Luke 15, 1 through 2, the tax collectors and the sinners were all drawing near. Obviously, he's telling stories about them. Now, I want to remind you, the word sinner is not the general word for sinner, but it is not the idea that we're all sinners. All right? That is true. We are all sinners, but Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5. We read that this morning. Okay? But here, it's a special class of people. Think of it this way. You have a home, and there are some people who are not invited in for whatever reason. Those are sinners. Okay? Those are who we're talking about in this text. The tax collectors, they ain't coming to my house. Sinners, those people I don't like, that family over there that wronged me, those people over there. So sinners actually means those people. Ah, not me. I'm good. My peeps are good. My family's good. Not all my family. All right, you guys, right? And the Pharisees and the scribes grumble, saying, this man receives sinners. And he does that one thing. And we've talked about this so much. Maxine, are we not a church of food?
Amen.
So we understand what it is to have food. In that context, that's that time, that banquet, that meal where you would invite your peers over and your friends. And if you wanted to get honored, you would invite someone who could honor you. And the Pharisees and the scribes didn't like it that Jesus was bringing in those who would dishonor him, and that they could eat with him. And so that's what happens. This is the context. And now he gives the parable. So we're going to jump down, obviously, go ahead. We're going to jump down in a second to the last one. But these three parables hit people right where they're at in this context. First, the lost sheep. You can't lose a sheep in this context, because one sheep probably means more to that shepherd than anything else, because it's his livelihood. Saying the parable, he didn't have to explain that to people who understood. Losing one sheep is not good. What is strange is leaving the 99 to find that one. The second thing is wealth. Y'all might say, I'm not very wealthy. So just use the word wealth as the idea of what you have to survive on. Doesn't matter how much it is. That woman has 10 coins, which is probably what she survives on. Losing one would put her in jeopardy. You all know what it means to get that one less dollar that says, oh, now it's going to be really tough. All right? And so we got that. And then the number one issue in the Jewish and Roman world is inheritance. The number one issue that makes family, the state, the empire stable, peaceful, is inheritance. And so this last parable upsets that balance. Jesus uses it, and it tips everything upside down. Okay, here we go. All right, so first, a few things up front. It's obviously connected to the first two parables. Can't get rid of that, right? That is, in those parables, you have something that's lost, you have something that's someone that's seeking, then you have it found, and then you have some kind of celebration, right? That's exactly what happens in the parable of the prodigal son. Someone that gets lost, someone that's found, in this case, welcomed back, and then there's celebration. So that you know they all fit the pattern. Go ahead. But this next one, representative and personal at the same time. This particular set of, it's more detailed. There's lots more going on. There's a few more characters. The elder son is most likely the accusing temple leadership. There's no doubt about it that the elder son, the son that doesn't like receiving the wayward son, is probably representative of all those. You do not want to be this people, right? The prodigal son is probably the tax collectors and the sinners that are eating with Jesus. You can't get far from that parable without realizing that it's not just about you and Jesus, you and God. It's about the context. And that context says that prodigal son is explaining why those tax collectors and sinners are eating with Jesus. And then the father. Now, this one's the hardest for us to understand because we see the word Father and we automatically go to God the Father. We believe that our God is a triune God, a three God, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? So whenever we see the word Father, sometimes we immediately run to that part of the Godhead, Father, all right? But in this story, the Father is almost certainly Jesus, all right? Okay? In this story, Jesus is what? Welcoming back the prodigal. Because this is what the story is about, welcoming all those people to eat with him, right? So the Father is probably Jesus. And then in Luke 19, not too far from chapter 15, it tells us Jesus came to seek and to save what was lost. And so the text tells us who this Father is, all right? Now, of course, when you speak of Jesus, you speak of the Father. When you speak of the Father, you speak of the Holy Spirit. We know that, okay? But in the context, you got to think about Jesus, all right? Now, whom do you or we identify with? Those Pharisees, they are supposed to be identifying with the elder son, because that's who Jesus is telling the story about. All those sinners and tax collectors that are gathered around him, they're going to identify with the prodigal son. And then there's the option of identifying with Jesus, right? And I think in terms of theology, in terms of the whole of the New Testament, who are we in this story really to identify ourselves with? We are to identify ourselves with the Jesus who welcomes the sinner and the tax collector, those marginal, those unexpected, those who cannot repay. All right. And he said, the first thing here, we're going to take a look at some of the details of this parable so that we can kind of hear the impact, all right? So I'm going to walk you through this. We've got two sons. This is a setup, by the way. In the Old Testament, we have a number of Israelite two son stories. And always one son gets something the other son doesn't, and there's a fight. And there's a division. So whenever you have two sons in a Jesus story, you know that they're thinking, well, we did have Jacob and Esau, right? Esau didn't like that Jacob got blessed, right? And there was conflict overall, right? And then we have a couple of the sons of Jacob who fought with one another, right? Okay? So we have two sons' stories. And he said to them, there was a man who had two sons. Verse 13 helps us a little bit because it says, this son took a journey to a far country. Remember the teaching I taught a number of weeks ago? Probably months ago now, where I think we actually did it during summer camp. Those who are far and those who are near, Jesus' death on the cross brought those who were far to himself and those who are near, you know, the Gentiles who are far away and the Jews who are near brought the cross brought them. Okay, this is the same word. So we're most likely to read this as those who are far and appear far from God. All right? That's how we're supposed to probably read this. You don't have to read into it to get it. That's the idea. Even if it's someone that's near, but he is a sinner. Sorry. He is a sinner. He's not welcome in my house. He might be near proximity, but in terms of who I am, and so it's not the distance that matters, okay? Go ahead. And so we got this one here. The next one is setting up a scoundrel. You got to make the bad guy really bad, right? There's no holes barred on this guy, all right? The wayward son, the prodigal son, he is the worst, all right? He's going to do all the things that make him anathema, that make him despised by the people who think they're okay, all right? And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property. Actually, that word property right there is life. Give me the life that I expect from you at the end of your life, all right? So this inheritance isn't just material. It is material, but it's his actual, the father's very life that he has. Because, you know, when you work really hard and you give a present to somebody, what are you giving? You're giving a little bit of your life to somebody, right? Because you've worked hard for that, right? You don't like Miss Maxine, Brenda, you guys know this. Freedom, you guys know this. When you cook and someone doesn't eat it, you feel like you've just wasted your what? Life, your time, right? So it's not just the food and it's not just the money, but it is the material blessings that he is taking from his father, which is his father's very life. And he says, divide the property right now. Divide that life right now. I want it now. Okay, John. And then in verse 13, not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had, and he took a journey to a far country. And that's to give you the impression he is really going away. He is leaving. If he really is loved and beloved and loving, he don't go far from family in this culture, in that culture. And there he squandered. He was wasteful with his life, with his property, and reckless living. Can't get any worse than that. Well, it actually does get worse. Go ahead, John. When he had spent everything, a severe famine arose. By the way, when you waste your life, waste your resources, waste someone else's life, when disaster happens, that's when you become really vulnerable. We all know that, right? When we have not been living the way we have and then disaster strikes, it's worse because we're not prepared. We're not strong. So this guy is not only reckless, he's foolish because he knows very well that life isn't going to always be okay. He knew something was going to happen someday and he squanders it. So he's not just taking his father's life, he's squandering it and he's putting himself at risk. You all know, we have family and friends. We go, why'd you do that? You put yourself at risk. You know these stories. And he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country. And most likely because it's far country, here's a Jew who's hiring himself out to a Gentile. That would have been humble. Okay? You all know there are some people, if you had to work for them, it would be a step down and humbling. Right? Okay? That's what's happening here. And then he says, he sent him out in the field to feed the pigs. If you're a Jew, you don't do what? Associate with pigs. This is one of those things, right? We live in a Muslim community. We know what pork is like. We know we stay away from pork. We don't even do pork hot dogs at our thing because we know people find that offensive. And all right? So even in our context, we understand that if someone is part of a culture that would find pigs offensive, and that's the only work they got. Now they haven't just been reckless. They haven't just spent everything. They haven't just put themselves at risk. They are doing the worst possible thing. Total, total humiliation. All right, go ahead. A little spin on that. It even gets worse because all he has to eat is what the pigs are eating. That even makes it worse. Okay. Now we recognize the lowest position with his father is actually better than the world has to offer. He's actually waking up to the idea that what God has, even at the bottom, give me the worst possible job possible in the father, capital F, father's house, and I'll take that over what the world has to offer because it's better. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants? By the way, we have talked about this before. In that culture, they had slaves. They had household slaves. Household slaves weren't actually on the bottom of society. Hired slaves, all right? Or what we would call in our culture, day workers. Because they have no family to fall back on, even if it's not their own family. There's no protection, no shelter, no home, no master to protect them. A hired servant would have been like a day worker that just got paid for that day and then was let go. And so he was even willing to take the worst job in his father's house because it was better than what he was going through. I will arise and go to my father and I will say to my father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Now, I think I get that at the park. I think that we get that at the barbecue. I think that we get that from a number of people we minister to. They're not worthy, right? And what do we usually say? You're absolutely not right. You're not worthy. But God does not care. God wants you right where you're at right now. Isn't this how the Father responds? Right? This is how the Father responds. This is how Jesus wants the new people of God to respond. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he rose and came to his Father's house. I believe that our ministries as church out in the public do demonstrate that life with us inside the church is far better than life outside. Now, I am of one who believes. I've never been an addict, so I can't say it personally. But I do not think there are too many people who are addicts who want to be an addict. They woke up one morning and said, that's what I'm going to work at. I'm going to work at being an addict. That is not how it works, is it? All right? So the son did not start off thinking, I'm going to eat with the pigs. He didn't wake up one morning thinking, this is what I want to do. So here he is, willing to humble himself before his father. He did not think he was going to wake up that day believing he was going to do that. And so a lot of people we talk to, a lot of people that we minister to, they just haven't realized yet it's okay and they're welcome. But we continue to demonstrate that it doesn't matter where you're at. It's okay. Because I didn't start out as worthy. I didn't start out in the Christian life. I didn't start out with Jesus as worthy. Anybody here start out saying, Jesus, I'm worthy for you? No, we start out at the bottom. And it does take us a while in our Christian life to find out how bottom that really was. All right, the Father initiates the welcome, and I do believe the Father is Jesus, okay? But while he was still a long way off, his Father saw him and felt compassion. Isn't that the way Jesus is? Jesus is not waiting for the Son to get here. Obviously, it's good that the Son has got himself in this place, okay? But he doesn't take long before he sees his Son and he goes out after him. He runs and he embraces him. That guy has to stink. No? The Father, in this, didn't go, Son, go get bathed and I'll embrace you and kiss you. How many people at our park ministry smell? How many people at our barbecue smell? How many people who have come in our door here and had smell? Because life is tough on people. By the way, just a little trick. Breathe it through. The best sense that we have is our smell. It's the fastest to balance. It will eventually balance. We just initiate by going, whoa. I've had plenty of people in the park who come to me with alcohol on their breath, and one of their first phrases to me is, Pastor, forgive me for smelling like alcohol. And I said, you don't have to forgive me. Your alcohol breath is not what bothers me. What bothers me is lack of jobs and fatherless homes and a society and neighborhoods that have been forgotten. Those are the things that matter to me. I'm not really keen on smell. I'll get over that, you know. But eventually, you have to get over that. But here the Father just throws himself at his messy, pig-smelling, bottom-feeding son. And that last phrase is he kissed him. Remember what kissing is in this culture. Kissing is fully accepting and embracing someone who is your peer and who is related to you by society. And so for him to kiss his son is to actually demonstrate physically a restoration that even before the party began. All right? And the son said, and Father, I sinned against you, and before you I'm no longer worthy. But the Father, and the emphasis here is it cuts him right off. But the Father said to his servant, quickly, bring a robe, get a ring, let's have a party. Right? And that's what the Father, in this case Jesus, initiates. All right. Thinking God's welcome is more deserving for some than others. Do not raise your hand, but we all been there. Sometimes we do think God's favor is better for some than others. All right? We all do that. This is where I think it gets to us as church. All right? Now, the older son was in the field. You heard the story. And he came and he drew near to the house and heard music and dancing. We all been there. The little hints that someone's getting something when we deserve something come way before we see it. The hints come and you're starting to already get what's going on here. Facebook is the meanest thing in the world. Think about that. Think about all the things people put on Facebook and go, they don't deserve that. Right? Even before we get to see it, taste it, and feel it, we're already starting to get bitter now. He called one of his servants and said, what's going on here? He says, your brother's home. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not part of the story, but you know exactly how it should have gone. Good, I've been praying for him to come home. I've been wanting to come home. Let me go hug and embrace him. That's what the older son should have done, right? But that's not what he did. Your brother has come and your father killed the fattened calf, but he was angry and refused to go in. We do that, right? As people, oh, that person's going over to that house. I'm not going over there. We've been there, right? As Christians, we slowly learn and unlearn that behavior. But as church, we need to always be recognizing it doesn't matter who walks in. It doesn't matter who comes in. I had two people who were so messed up yesterday who want to come to the park, Maxine, and help serve. I am glad it's not my responsibility to choose the servers. It's Maxine's. Okay? So I'm going to say to that nice couple, if they show up in the park, go see my sister Maxine. But I know what Maxine will do. She'll weigh the situation. She'll give them some gloves and give them a try. Right? That's what Maxine already told me she does. Some people should not serve twice. She already said that. We got that. But we wouldn't turn them away because they were addicts and having a hard time with methadone and their language wasn't that perfect, you know? We just wouldn't turn them away because of that. All right? But he was angry and refused to go in. Go ahead. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered, look, these many years I have been serving. The father had no reason to be gracious to the elder son. Jesus has no reason to be gracious to the accusing Pharisees and the scribes. But the strange thing is he dies for them too, right? And in the book of Acts, we actually do learn that many from the Pharisees and scribes believed. So we know that eventually some of them woke up to what the gospel is. But when this son of yours came who has devoured your property with prostitutes. Now, you know this, the beginning story never says anything like that. He's embellishing. Don't we do that with people we don't like? If we don't like someone and their story isn't dirty enough, we make it dirtier. Right? That's an attitude problem with us. Right? You killed the fattened calf. Go ahead. But the welcome of Jesus turns inheritance upside down. That is the gospel. Turns the issue of inheritance upside down. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for your father, your brother was dead and is alive. You got to understand that someone who has taken his inheritance and spent it all, in that world he would have been considered dead. The only way he could be made alive again was to come back to the father's house. Because it's the only place he had where he could actually find life. Because he cuts himself off from that father, from a father in that world. And he is without family. He is without inheritance. He is without life. And so we have to understand how impacting this would be. He is alive. He was lost and is found. Go ahead, John. All right, now really quick. What are we to do this as church? We can always embrace and see how Jesus loves us. That's true. But how do we do this as church? I think the first thing is if we have a problem with God's generosity, we got to get over that. I want him to be a lot more generous to me than to Brenda. I want him to be a lot more generous to me than to my good friend George. I want his generosity even at the expense of somebody else's. Because that's my nature. Not just because of jealousy. I don't have to be jealous of John getting something. I just don't like John. Sorry, John. Or, you know what? I come from a different social class. And John comes from a different social class. That might determine whether I think God should be more gracious to me than to him. Right? Now, as church, this is wrong. Go ahead, John. The next one is we must recognize that wandering, wastefulness, vulnerability is not the end of the story. When we see somebody who has wasted their life away, who has squandered it away, whether it be with just living life apart from God or addicted to drugs and alcohol and life on the street, it doesn't matter. That is not the end of the story. We need to see that as church. And so that our attitude becomes better towards those who are not like us. Go ahead, John. The Father Jesus becomes the center of the story. Notice that the story is all about the Son, right? All of a sudden it changes, and who does it become centered on? The Father. It becomes, and isn't that what we actually want? We want the story off of us and on Jesus, right? That's what we want, because we know that's what will solve everyone's problem. Not right overnight, but at least the direction, right? If someone's addicted to something, unless God decides that miracle's going to happen at that moment, but you all know the way he works sometimes, because let's say John's addicted to something. It ain't going to go away. Now it's on me to be patient, loving, and kind. Man, I want him clean today, because then I don't have to be patient and kind, and God doesn't have to work on me. You got to work on John. You see how that works? All right? So now we know that Jesus has to be the center of the story. Go ahead. Number four. That's number four. This is my conclusion. This is the conclusion from last week. What is lost is dead. What is found has been made alive. That's the gospel. Remember, that's the gospel. If someone asks you what the gospel is Jesus Christ dying so you can be made alive. That's the gospel. However, what is found is welcomed into the Father's house. This too is gospel. You can't have the one without the other. What do we say to the people in the park every week now this summer? In my Father's
house,
there are plenty of
rooms
for
everyone.
And it's that everyone that is the tricky part. Right? It is that everyone. So without that second part. So we need to be a church that is most welcoming of the least outcast and even the most undeserving, undesirable outsider. Go ahead, John. And specifically welcomed at the eating. Now, in our context, the eating is worship, is our table. You all know that I would love to have a big feast every single time we meet. Someday, that is, Maxine, is that not going to happen?
Amen.
That's going to happen. We are going to have feasts when we worship. However, at this point, we welcome anybody to the table because that's part of the gospel. Right? All right, go ahead, John. Now, guys, we learned a song coming up in a little bit at the beginning, Lean Back. And so after I just finish this last little point here, I just want us to sit and I want us to hear and learn and listen to that song, Lean Back. We already sang it one time. It doesn't make you memorize it or anything, but now you're familiar with it. I want us to know that song is really good for us to think about, leaning back in the loving arms of the Father. Right? We need to see as a church there is no competition in God's love, grace, and mercy. So that means that the dirtiest, the most scandalous, undeserving, wasteful son or daughter is what? Welcome home. Amen? Let's pray and then we're going to just sing. You don't have to stand for this song, but I would like you to sing it. Father, I thank you so much for being filled with grace. Help us as a church to be like Jesus. Help us to welcome home the prodigal. Help us, Father, not to be like the elder son and have animosity toward those who you are being gracious to. Help us as church to be that church that's like the shepherd who seeks the one, like the woman who does everything to find the coin. And help us to be like you who welcomes home the prodigal. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go ahead and play that song and just take the time to lean back. Use this time to kind of pray. It's a little long introduction. Just use it to pray. God, help me be like the Father in this story. Forgive us this church when we cut people off. Help us to know this song and then to let others know it.
Thank you. isn't it in our hands to make sure that others know that we have a good Father?
Yes.
Isn't that why we exist as people? People of God, children of God, family of God. Now we do have a number of people that are missing. Charlie, Brother Rick, his mom passed away yesterday. A number of people are missing today that will be here. But just think about that. We, in our mind, envision what? That we're going to have 100 people making out CPC in the hill. Isn't this really what we want? Because we know that if people can see the Father through us, can see Jesus through us, it will change their lives. How many wish their lives would have changed 10 years ago? 15 years ago? Mama would get up there 30 years ago, right? I'm 40 years old in the Lord. I think my mom would have said, God, please, if you could have changed it a little earlier, it would have been easier back then. But we need to know that we have a Father like this. And so that they too, at this time, could be right here, come, and know that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. And in the same way, he raised a cup, and he said, this is the blood of the new covenant. It is my blood, which is shed for you for
the forgiveness of sins.
Don't you want everybody to know that? That is life changing. So right now, let's stand. Let's welcome people. Let's just hug. And if you have to, you can kiss them. But this is our time to let people know we not only appreciate them, but they are our peers in the Lord. All right?
Come here, Jesse. Jesse, this is one of my great friends. Right. George. That's he is a really, really good friend. That Dean, there we go. Up this time, but find a seat. I am not sure how we're going to do this when we have 100 people. Our service is going to be an extra hour long. John, you can't woe that. All right. Let's take the time to bring our requests before the Lord. We have probably many things to be praying for today. I'm just going to right up front say we need to pay for Rick and his family, okay? I don't know any details about anything. I'm going to stop over there this afternoon. All right? The basket is still probably in the office. And also, let's play for Charlie, who is with his biker friends. He felt really bad, and he almost canceled being with that one thing he looks forward to every year, being with all his biker friends at this big gathering in New Hampshire, because he didn't want to miss Saturday, and he didn't want to miss today. And I said, Charlie, we just so thankful you travel all the way up from Florida to be with us. You go be with your brothers, because some of them serve us. All right? So we're going to pray for Charlie and the rest of the motorcycle guys. John?
I'll give him a moment.
Olivia?
Yeah.
Pray for Olivia. Anybody else?
I got Sarah and Paul.
Okay. Anybody else? Sia? I'm going to go over there after service. Freedom? Now, you all know that we do pray for that, and we bless God for that, right? So may that be the start of a movement of people getting jobs, right? And I know that Maxine's going to bring up that in a second, right? I want to let you know, she's faithful at making sure you get prayed for.
Yep. God is good all the time. We should pray for,
go ahead.
We should pray for our Wednesday night barbecue, whatever is going to happen.
Yeah. Just to let everybody know, it's not really announcement time or anything, but this Wednesday, Becca Garofalo, remember the young man who took the very first video of us to do a little fundraising? That's Matt Garofalo. His brother, Zach Garofalo, is married to Rebecca Garofalo. And Rebecca and Zach, but Rebecca is going to do a little mini concert at the park. After I preach and while people are eating, she's going to just play guitar and sing. And she is very good. And I'm hoping her sister, who lives on Whaley Ave, will join us. And Carrie. You know Carrie? Yeah, we'd love for them to get my hooks into them. But anyway, but we do pray for our barbecue ministry. Anybody else here? Maxine, go ahead. I got so excited when I saw him that this morning, because that would have been 2 weeks in a row he'd come to church, and all of a sudden it's like he's got to catch a bus. I said, what's wrong with this? We don't want no jobs on Sunday. Anyway, Lord bless him, and may he do well, because he needs that for his days ahead, right? Guy, I'm not, we're young enough as a congregation right here to call attention. This gentleman from the park decided he'd come join us today, so we're very grateful for that. Thank you so, so very much. Thank you so much. We love that ministry because we love the people in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I think you can sense that. So, amen. Brenda? When do you start that?
I started.
You started already?
Okay. And at the risk of setting up for me.
Pray for it.
Well,
yeah, peace. Yes. I think Mama would have said that in 2 seconds. Mama? Larry needs a job. All right, Mama? Anybody else? Don't want to cut anybody off. All right, let's pray. Father, we right now grieve with Brother Rick, although his mother was a Christian, and she is in glory. You don't make that the center of grieving right now. Right now, a son has lost his mother. Grandkids have lost their grandmother. And so we pray for Rick's immediate family that they would be strong together, be encouraged together, know that you are present. Be with other parts of the family that also are addressing issues of health. We just ask that your mercy would be there and that Rick and his brother, both mature Christians, would have strength during this time. Father, we pray for Olivia. She is part of our family. And we ask that your mercy would be upon her. Give the doctors wisdom. Give the nurses wisdom. Just bring her body to health and wholeness. Father, we thank you. We thank you for our brother Charlie. Keep him and all our biker friends that help us all the time. May they be safe. And they're also going to be sharing the Lord. So, Father, we ask that you give them boldness and grace. Father, we pray for Sarah and Cole and Dean in this family situation. We ask that your mercy would be made known right in this little family. Thank you for our grandson, Dean, being able to be at church with us. Father, we pray for freedom and ask that you would bless her and her new job. Help her to do well. Be with her kids and grandkids, and may there be a blessing and an encouragement in her household. Father, we ask that you would be with Mariah, and we bless you for her. We ask that you would hear her request for her mom and her stepdad and for her brothers and her siblings. And she's also asked us to lift up Sister Brenda. So we do that. We ask that you would bless Brenda, encourage her. And as she has already requested, that you would bring wisdom to her as she does her classes. And be with Larry and help him to find work. And Father, just be with her household. We thank you for Chloe. And we just ask your blessing to be on them. And that, just like she and Mama say, we need peace. First in us, in our community, and in the world. Father, we pray for our Wednesday barbecue. We ask that your mercy would precede us and that you would touch people's lives and then let us touch people's lives. Be with Becky as she comes to sing with us, among us, this Wednesday. Father, I thank you for Sia and ask that you would bless her, give her strength, give her health, give her wisdom. As she begins her new job, give her just that wisdom and that grace to be not only a great worker, but to be someone who's filled with light right there in the job. Be with her family and let her family just see how good God is. And Father, we pray for Mom, and we praise you for her. We praise you for her example. We praise you for her faith. We ask that you would be with her, give her strength, continue to work with her, help her family to be united, to be filled with your Spirit. Father, we thank you for her request for our church. We ask that you would bless us. And Father, we need you. Father, we be with Maxine and her household and let her household know that Jesus reigns. Be with those who need jobs. We're thankful for Malik finding a job. Father, protect this young man. Help this young man to stay wise and stay alert. Father, we pray that the court that he has to face tomorrow, that would go well, and that he would understand his need for Christ sitting right there with him. And Father, we do pray for our church and that you would bless our church. Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise because only you can work out all things for your people. And we give you thanks and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. And since we talked about